next case is number 22-1963, Mantissa Corporation versus First Financial Corporation. Okay, Mr. Markham.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. May it please the Court. Today we're going to talk about two claim terms at issue. The first is transaction partner in the context of categories of transactions that may be denied in a financial account and off in the context of the financial account.
So the claims require a user, right? And so user is defined in column 8 of the patent, lines 13 through 22, right?
I think there is a user is a little bit loosely used in the patent. I think user can refer to the bank that's actually hosting the financial account, the entity that will actually be debiting the money from the financial account. Use is also used to refer to the act of debiting the account.
User is 20 in the picture, right?
Right.
And this says user 20 may really be a very non-limited example. So those are users, right? That's the definition of user. Non-exclusive is the definition of those who are included in the term user.
You said column 8?
Column 8, line 18 to 22.
Yes, it's referring to financial institutions, hospitals, correct.
Okay, and you say transaction partner means a seller, right?
Transaction partner means a seller. The term used in the patent is merchant, but merchant is may not be so easily understood
by
the...
used in the client.
Correct. They use the term transaction partner.
So the claim says a user has a transaction, right?
The owner of the financial account has a transaction partner. The idea is a transaction partner are the parties to a transaction, one on one side, one on the other.
So the user doesn't have a transaction partner?
The user, no, I guess the user 20 would not have a transaction partner in that there's nobody really on the others. I guess you could look at the merchant as somebody on the other side of the transaction between the merchant and the bank, which is hosting the account.
I'm trying to understand what transaction partner means.
Right.
And the
right.
district court found that it was ambiguous. And I thought you were saying that the user had a transaction partner. Now you're saying that the entity
correct
is has a transaction partner.
Yes, our position is that transaction partner refers to the parties to a transaction, generally opposite sides of the transaction. Partner usually implies two parties. A buyer would be one type of transaction partner. Seller would be another transaction partner.
Mr. Walker, let me ask you. There's a lot of talk in the briefing about the qualifications of Dr. Rhine, correct?
Yes.
Do we really need to worry about that? Can't we just, as I would respectfully suggest the discussion you were having with Judge Dyke indicates, can't we just go to the claims and the specification here, the intrinsic evidence? Do we really have to worry about that whole issue of the qualifications?
We agree. The only reason why the qualifications mattered as far as the standard of person of skill in the art is the glaring omission of the understanding of merchant category codes at the time of the invention. Merchant category codes were transmitted with every proposed transaction over computer financial networks as required by IRS, MasterCard.
But you would agree we can just decide this case either for or against
I agree.
Based on the claims and the spec.
Yes, I agree. I believe the intrinsic evidence is enough to allow one of ordinary skill in the art who's familiar with executing and authorizing financial transactions over computer financial networks.
Now, if you look at the record, there are several. We have several iterations of what was proposed. In the first shot, I guess First Financial says the claim's indefinite. Then you came back with the definition, and then First Financial responded. Are we bound by what the parties have said, or can we say, here's what the term means ourselves?
I believe the district court's finding on the intrinsic evidence can be reviewed de novo. Extrinsic evidence, which included merchant category code schedules, a declaration by our side and a declaration by the other side, I think that gets lower weight, but would be reviewed.
So we're not bound by something the parties say. We can say, here's what we think the term means.
De novo review means you can say what you think the term means.
Coming back to this definition of user, it seems to me that for many of these categories of users, there isn't a seller involved. I just don't understand how a transaction partner can be defined as seller when a lot of the material covered by the patent doesn't involve sellers. It involves, for example, a family member, a caregiver, somebody like that.
So the specification is broadly about controlling identity, which includes your passport information, your health records, your credit card information. And so a transaction in the case of a passport would be between, say, a country that you're planning to immigrate to.
But it covers a situation where a family member is trying to access or to use the entity's financial account.
I think the family member is probably raised in the context of accessing health records of a relative.
But it doesn't say that. Says a user can be a family member, and it talks about somebody who's not a family member trying to access the financial account to steal money. Those are situations where there's no seller involved.
Well, in that case,
correct?
Well, if you look at the figure...
No, but answer that. Is that correct?
The attempt to access money would be going through some front. A family member would be possibly using a credit card or the bank information of the financial account owner and attempting to present a transaction for debiting the account. So I think that the family member would be could be a kind of seller or somebody looking to debit the account.
The family member could be a seller?
Well, you're stretching to me an example. I think the examples that are more relevant to the financial account are the ones where a thief has taken a credit card or an individual wants to prevent their use of their credit instrument at a type of store.
This isn't limited to a credit card company trying to access a financial account. It's all sorts of entities trying to access a financial account of which a credit card company is only one example. So what I'm trying to understand is how does your definition of transaction partner make any sense when it's not a credit card company that's trying to access the account, but one of these other entities?
Those other entities would not be relevant for the claims at issue. The claims are limited to financial accounts. Those other entities you mentioned are relevant to control over other types of identity that control health records or passport data.
But the specification specifically contemplates other kinds of individuals trying to access a financial account. That's one of the situations that this patent is supposedly designed to avoid.
That's correct.
Fraud.
The patent does go into multiple uses of identity control. The claims here are limited to control of the identity with respect to a financial account. That is going to involve debiting money from the financial account.
But it doesn't have to be by a credit card company.
The examples in the specification that are relevant to the financial account talk about stores and merchants.
Does the access to the financial account have to involve a credit card company?
No, it can also be a bank.
So, Mark, you tie you merged the term seller, right?
Yes.
What this means. Why can't, instead of seller, why can't transaction partner just mean a party to a transaction?
It could be, but I thought
isn't
that was...
I mean, doesn't that seems to fit with a lot of what you see in the spec, column 2, line 64 through column 3, line 6, column 5, lines 49 through 55, and column 6, lines 40 through 51. And indeed, I believe claim 13, which I recognize is not at issue here, uses the term party to a transaction. So why isn't transaction partner, can't we just say it's a party to a transaction?
Yes.
It's supported by the spec.
Yes, you could, but we thought that was going to be a little bit more difficult for a jury to understand.
So that's not your definition.
You don't accept that definition?
Oh, we would accept that definition. But we thought seller was more precise to the actions that are occurring in the financial account in these claims.
But I think it just strikes me, and I can only speak for myself, that party to a transaction seems to fit most comfortably with the language of the claims and the specification.
That's correct.
I'm sure someone might disagree with me, but that's just the way I see it.
What party to what transaction?
To the transaction, the proposed transaction that is seeking to access or debit the financial account. So
why does that involve a seller necessarily? We have all these other kinds of users who are trying to access the account who aren't involved in transactions with sellers.
Those other examples, again, we're talking about categories.
You're not answering my question. Why does it have to be a sales transaction?
Because the claims here are limited to a financial account. A financial account holds money. The only thing that you can get out of the account is
family members trying to access the account. That's an effort to access the financial account.
That would be a transaction partner that would be hopefully denied by the claimed invention.
Could be, right?
If the categories were set so that that type of transaction partner was not authorized.
But getting back to Judge Schultz's example, this transaction partner, in your view, has to be a seller, right?
Well, it could be an imposter. The idea of an imposter is raised and a thief
could be
is
a buyer.
Raised. Sorry?
Could it be a buyer?
You mean someone depositing money into the account?
I'm asking you.
No. The purpose of the invention, which is relevant to definiteness, is to prevent unauthorized transactions.
Does it matter how we label the user of this, what we're now calling the seller or the buyer, the transaction partner? Isn't it just whoever uses the system on that side?
That's correct, but we thought
now saying the transaction partner is the user of the system? That's different from what you said earlier.
No, we're saying the transaction partner is the person on the opposite side of the transaction.
And that can be anybody or anything.
Anything could attempt to propose a transaction over the computer network.
Yeah, it just seems to me that if you stand on one of these labels, seller, buyer, that's where you run into an indefinite problem. But if you say it doesn't matter, it can be anybody. it's not defined until somebody or something comes along and tries to access the funds, and then you know who the transaction partner is, regardless of what type of entity it is.
That's correct. We are taking...
Then the user is the same as the transaction partner.
Where's the term user in the claims?
Method for service provider control use.
Yes. So use is the act of debiting the account. It's not referring necessarily to the existence of a user in the claims.
It's not. Who's accessing the account?
The merchant, the scenario presented in one of the examples, is a merchant, a thief with a stolen credit card instrument presenting to the merchant presenting that information to the bank that's hosting the financial account, and then determining through a service provider whether that type of transaction is authorized.
Look at Appendix 21, Figure 1. It says user right there.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. The examples that are more relevant are in Figure 3, which is showing an entity called the merchant agent, and the merchant agent interfaces with the user, which is broadly a type of financial institution.
Can I ask one question? If we agree with the district court on this, your claims are indefinite, the case is over, correct?
Yes.
Just to get a broad picture, sort of a housekeeping type question here. If we were to rule in your favor, the case would go back. What issues, if any, are pending down there? In other words, if you lose here, it's over, but is there, obviously, infringement would still be an issue. Are there any other validity issues that were not addressed by the district court?
There's no other validity issues left. I mean, the indefiniteness invalidity argument is, to me, a little bit early to come into a claim construction hearing, but that's the way the law is now. And so invalidity for indefiniteness can be handled rather early in a case.
So there's no other claim validity issues at this point in the
correct
case?
Correct.
Okay. Just possibility of an infringement.
That's right.
Claim.
So what is the significance of the construction of the term off?
So it's troubling for Mantissa in that it seems to be an absolute.
No. What's the significance of it? How does it affect the judgment? Why is this issue before us?
Yes, the order we received is valid. That we were looking for guidance from the Federal Circuit on the construction
of
the term
off. So it
doesn't affect the judgment? No, it doesn't. It's not dispositive on infringement or non-infringement at this point.
How can it properly be enforced if it doesn't affect the judgment?
There's a case that was cited to us, Alterwan, in which this court gave guidance to the district court in a similar situation.
Not if it doesn't affect the judgment.
In Alterwan, it wasn't dispositive on the case, but the court did volunteer guidance, basically saying if the claim term is construed to cover an impossibility, it's probably not correct.
I think we're out of time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. I think one thing I'll respond to is there was some discussion about Figure 1 from the 658 patent, which is...
Just before we begin, you agree that the judgment doesn't depend on the construction of the term off, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
With respect to the term transaction partner, there was a discussion about Figure 1, and it's set forth in Appendix 21. And I think this is helpful for purposes of understanding the indefiniteness issue. This the figure depicts a user, which one could certainly understand and infer from claim one that the user is the entity performing the steps of the method. But on the other hand, I think we heard from...
What steps of the method? What?
Each of the steps, this claim one is passive in the sense that it doesn't expressly say which entity is performing the steps, setting the scope, receiving, determining, responding.
And you say it's the user that's doing that?
I think one could infer from the claim that it may be the user who's doing it, but I think you could also, perhaps maybe it is the what's shown as the source, 27. The claim isn't clear on that point. And I think that underscores the problems we have with transaction
partners. If that's partners. The case, what does a service provider do? If the user is implementing the steps, what is it that the service provider does?
I think it's responding to the user where it says determining, like it says determining relative to the scope of use, that, and then responding to the inquiry. So it's responding to the steps initiated by the user.
Does the service provider then respond one way or the other to the user depending on who the user is?
It responds
depending on the information it has from the entity.
Yes, Your Honor. Depending on the information that's based on this determining
step. The guidelines the entity has given it.
That's correct, yes.
So let me ask you, I'm looking at Claim 1, to make my own understanding, the second paragraph, it says, including at least A, the financial account, to either on or off. Then it goes, for a plurality of individual categories, and it says, whether each category is authorized or unauthorized for transactions using the financial account. The determination of whether there is authorization, as I understand it, will be made by the user, 20.
I believe that's correct. The user,
based upon the information that has come from the identity owner and presumably made available by the service provider.
The identity owner would
gives it to the service provider, and the service provider interacts with the user and says yes or no, up or down, right?
In this first step, it would set the scope of permissible use, yeah. Providing the information, and then it uses that subsequently in the determining step to make a decision.
Now, what about the idea that in that claim that it says representing each category of type of transaction, representing a different type of transaction partner. Why doesn't that just mean a party to a transaction?
Because I think we've heard lots of different possible, and I would say plausible, definitions. I would concede that is a plausible, possible definition. I also think what we've seen from the evidence is buyer or seller is a plausible explanation for this, for the term transaction.
Why doesn't party to a transaction fit better? I mean, because anyone seems that anyone you're talking about here, whether they get the green light or the red light, so to speak, is a party to a transaction.
I would say a party to a transaction, but not necessarily a partner. And I think that's the term that we're concerned with. In other words, this concept of partnership, we think, has to mean something.
Well, saying transaction partner means a party to a transaction. I mean, we're not bound. I mean, you agree that we can determine. I may be right or wrong in what I'm suggesting, but we can certainly arrive at a determination based upon what we think is the correct result, right?
I would agree based on the intrinsic record if the court determined could find
it. You agree with your friend on the other side, you don't have to worry about all this expert stuff.
I would say only insofar as the district court did make factual findings.
Well, we can just say no. We're going to look, for example, look at the lengthy discussion Judge Dyke was having with counsel for the other side. That was all focused on the language of the claim and what's in the spec.
The
so court, we can determine it based on that, right?
The court could conclude that the intrinsic record is sufficient for determining claim construction or indefiniteness on this term. I would agree.
So you don't dispute that the intrinsic record is all we need here?
Well, in this case, for transaction partner, we have an intrinsic record where the term never appears in the specification. It's not shown in any figure.
It doesn't appear, but perhaps there are things in there that shed light on what it means.
I don't think it does, because there was a discussion in the district court's opinion about potential examples that appellate identified, but each one of those examples, either by and large, they were examples that weren't relevant to a financial account. So they were things like, healthcare information, or someone trying to take out a loan, which those aren't relevant to a financial account. So the problem was, there wasn't a single example in the patent that actually provides an example of what a transaction partner would be with respect to a financial account. And that seemed to be the crux of the district court's concern over this claim. Even the one example...
Do you attach any relevance? I realize the claim is not at issue in this case, but to claim 13, where it refers to, says, third clause, receiving via network from a source other than the entity a request to determine whether a proposed use of the entity's financial account by a party at a location is allowable. Now, I realize that claim's not at issue, but is it permissible or impermissible for us to look at that claim and say, this may shed some light on transaction partner in these other claims that are at issue? There it says party to a transaction, basically.
Well, Your Honor, I think it's permissible to look to other claims, but I will say for claim 13, what it says, and this is at line approximately 26 here, it says financial account by a party at a location is allowable. And so I think if anything, what this suggests is maybe a transaction party is a party at a location.
So they're a party to a transaction, regardless of where they are.
Well, I think, Your Honor, this is a fundamentally different thing. If it's a party at a location, I think that's one thing. If it's a party to a transaction, that's a much broader concept. A party at a location, all these claims have limitations talking about geographical and proximity-based limitations that play into whether the transaction is allowed. So I think it is important.
Because it does go down later and say, determining whether the proposed use of the identity's financial account by the party at the location is authorized.
And that suggests that it's another plausible definition for transaction partner could be a party at a location, which is much narrower than a party to a transaction, because a potential party to a transaction may be at a different location.
Would that still be indefinite? Even if we understood transaction partner to be a party to the transaction, would party to the transaction be indefinite?
If they had written party to the transaction, I don't think that would be indefinite. Because
the question is, what transaction?
Yeah, well, I think...
I mean, is it transaction between the user and the account, or between the user and somebody else?
I think that's one of the unanswered questions, is for transaction partner, the term partner has to mean something, so it has to be a partnership between two entities. We found extrinsic evidence about...
But how do we know whether if it's a transaction, a party to a transaction, which transaction are we talking about? Are we talking about the transaction between the user and the financial account, or between the user and some third-party merchant, or something else?
Your Honor, I think that's a different... That also raises a concern with the definiteness, because there's really different there's different... what you could conceive of as different transactions occurring. I mean, there is the transaction of actually setting up this information. There's a transaction of doing the step of determining whether to allow some other interaction. And so which one of those transactions are we talking about? And I think the idea of a partner would imply that there is some sort of relationship between the two parties. So it can't just be simply saying any other entity on the other side of a potential deal, like a grocery store or a gas station, because there's no relationship between necessarily any relationship between let's say the service provider, or the identity owner in this other entity. So I think that's part of the problem with transaction partner. And I'll also say...
But did the court decide along the terms that you just stated?
That I think, what the court did was the district court went through the intrinsic record, specification, looked at the claims, prosecution history, and specifically focused on the supposed examples in the patent of a transaction partner, found that none of them actually described even a single example of a transaction partner in the context of a financial account. And then, having found no understanding of what transaction partner meant, also reviewed the extrinsic evidence and made factual findings based on that. And there were the term for transaction partner was used multiple times in multiple patents. In each of those extrinsic patents, the term transaction partner was actually defined in the specification. Here, this is the one patent where they didn't do that. And tellingly, those other extrinsic patents use different definitions in each of the different patents for the term transaction partner, which underscored that it doesn't have a well-understood meaning to a person of ordinary skill in the art at this time. Rather, that it's something that would really have needed to be defined expressly, or perhaps with examples that were relevant. And that simply wasn't done in this patent. And I think if there's any questions on the person of ordinary skill in the art issue, I would say, at least in our view, that is not important for resolving this appeal. But even if the court looks at this, we should bear in mind that the two proposed definitions were very close to one another. This is a far cry from a case where district court identified the wrong sort of person to be a person of ordinary skill in the art. Really, the only difference was the district court used some open-ended language, preferably 3 years rather than expressly requiring 3 years of experience, and said related to financial systems rather than requiring express conduct on a specific financial system. And Dr. Ryan, I think as we mentioned, did have experience with R&D programs for internet-based fraud detection for credit cards, and that was discussed in his CV that he attached. And so he did have requisite experience under either definition, so we think even if there was an error, it would just simply be a harmless error, nonetheless.
Can we go back to the off-state question? Is it your position that issue is not properly before the court?
Yes, because, and I think underscored by the cases cited in the order from this court to address, there's no stipulation explaining what, if any, relevance the construction would have on infringement, and I think the appellant said it may not impact infringement one way or the other. So we don't think it would simply be an advisory at this point.
Okay.
And if there's any other questions, I...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. DeMarco.
Yes, thank you. So I'd like to go quickly to figure three to clear up the purpose of the service provider in the claims. Figure three corresponds with text at column 10, lines 7 to 10, in which a thief using a stolen credit instrument at merchant agent 24, in which the merchant communicates the transaction, this is quote, merchant communicates the transaction information to a transaction approval network, which it calls 20.
which generates an appropriate identity state request 111 and sends it to a service provider 10 for a determination. What's happening here is the service provider is the entity that's executing those top-level steps that you see in the claim.
So what is your definition of transaction partner?
I'm okay with transaction, a party to a transaction.
That's now your preferred definition?
It was suggested. It seems like there's some momentum.
That's not the same one as you argued before, right?
To me, it's clear if you read the entire claim.
No, you've got to answer my questions. Okay, that's not the same definition that you argued for before, correct?
Correct.
And before you were arguing it yourself, right?
Correct. Okay. So the claim refers to the method for a service provider to control use of the entity's financial account and those top-level steps, setting scope of use, receiving via network from a source, a proposed transaction, determining relative to the scope whether the financial account may be used for the proposed transaction. Those are all performed by the service provider, not by the user. Just wanted to make that clarification.
Okay, I think
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.